You know, that song we sang of victory in Jesus. It was that last line. Hold on. 341. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. So I think, I wonder what we're going to say. Do we know the song already? So I go to Isaiah chapter number 6. This is bonus coverage here. This is not, this is just thinking about things. Isaiah chapter 6, right? We get a little view of the glory of in the heavens. In Isaiah 6, 1, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Where's brother, Naparella loves trains. Different train. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. The Bible says this, and one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Seems like a simple song. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. I wonder if that'll be the song. Just crying out to God how holy he is. Jump over to Revelation chapter number 5. Gives us a little more insight. Revelation chapter number 5 and verse 8, it says, and when he had taken the book, and the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps. Man, I love the sound of a harp. Remember the Miss Smith there? Oh, nice. Anybody play the harp? Not the auto harp, like legit harp. Mrs. Houck, do you play the harp? No, you seem like a harp player. I don't know. All right. That was a compliment. I'm just saying. Okay. Golden vials full of odors, and which are the prayers of the saints. Man, that's good. The Bible says this, and they sung a new song. So maybe we haven't heard it yet. But it gives us the words. Sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, and thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. It's all level at the foot of the cross, amen? Let's remember the gospel is not Americanism, but here it says this, every tribe and tongue and nation and man. And this is what they sing. Sing about being redeemed by the blood. Praise the Lord for that. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Maybe that gives us a little insight into the songs that we'll be singing. See, I'm just not for singing. Oh man, you're going to hate heaven. You're going to hate it. Well, you know, I got a song in my heart. When we have songs in our heart, it comes out. Ever be passionate about something? And I'm not really a passionate individual. Ready? Here. These are. Thank you, Joe. Sound man extraordinaire. Sound boy. I don't know. Sound young man. Passionate individual. Two words that will incite riots. Gas prices, right there. Everyone's got a thought. Oh, man, let me tell you. And we got reasons of why it is.
I did
that. Yeah. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. Got something pent up inside? Hey, how about the indwelling Holy Spirit of God? I'm just not a singer. I just have a hard time just letting it out. Man, Bible says he gave us a new song. Sing it out. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You're in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. I'm going to turn to Acts chapter number 1 and read you a verse. Acts chapter number 1, and then we'll get going. Man, before we get going, I loved having men's Sunday school class. That was excellent. Felt like we could relate. We talked logically. We talked about hot dogs. Excellent. Important stuff.
We're excited. We got a men's activity coming up. The word Ohrbachers was brought up. Road trip. We're doing the book of Rome. Someone suggested us to go to Rome, right? I mean, we're doing the book of Romans.
He's paying.
Yeah, he's paying. But there is a Rome, New York, but we've also identified that there's nothing in Rome, New York. So, gas station. A gas station. We'll save our time. We're going to drive through or see the exit for Rome on our way to get absurdly large sandwiches. All right. What a blessing. Hey, if you miss Sunday school and say, I'd like to get in, is it too late? Never too late. I invite you to come. I promise you it'll be a blessing. Lady started a Sunday school class this morning, The Joys, The Secret of a Happy Heart. And how'd it go, Mrs. Russo? Good, pretty good. All right. It went very well. Thank you, Mrs. Sutliff. Great was the words. Excellent. Wow. Very good. Excellent. Yeah, good preaching over there in the ladies' room. Good singing. They had good singing. Mrs. Aldred was trying to get in on the men's study, and that's fine. That's fine. We said she could come in anytime just as long as she brought cookies. And so she walks in. She's like, okay, Acts chapter number 1. Just excited about the warm weather today. I'm excited to be a child of God. Thankful for the word of God that just sets it all straight. Man, I don't know. Singing about heaven and about that mansion and a couple of those songs and the glory of God. That seeing all those little people up here. I mean, I know a lot of people are out sick today and traveling. And we got some families that are just down with sickness. We got the Hodges in Ohio, the Siemens in Ohio. We got the Faulkners down with the flu. There's other people that are just sick. Miss seeing them. But I'm thankful for the word of God. The Bible tells us where two or three are gathered in his name. Yeah. There he is in the midst of it. We got Spanish ministry going on. And we got youth choir practice tonight. It's good to be a child of God. It is good. Acts chapter number 1 and verse 3, while you're just hanging out in 1 Corinthians 15. Acts 1:3 says this, to whom also he showed himself alive, speaking of Jesus Christ, after his passion by many, look at these words. No, you won't look at these words. Listen to these words. Infallible proofs. Being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for infallible proofs. God, thank you that we serve a risen Savior who is alive today. God, thank you for the victory. Thank you for what we celebrated last week. God, help us to not get over that. Lord, help it to change us today. Lord, thank you again for the fellowship of the saints. And God, it's good to sing to you. Lord, you're worthy of all of our worship. Lord, thank you for our little people. Lord, it just touches my heart to see him singing. Think about where they're going to be maybe in a number of years. And Lord, it just encourages me. Lord, I pray that we'd be an encouragement one to another. Lord, Holy Spirit of God, right now, I invite you into the service that God, you'd be honored and glorified. Lord, use your word in a way that no man could ever. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Bible says, last week we celebrated it, but good news, tomb still empty, still seated at the right hand of the Father. Jesus Christ is still risen today, and we can still talk about it. Today's message is called The Days to Follow. Resurrected Christ, go with me to 1 Corinthians, hopefully 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. The Bible says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. Hey, there's something to stand on, as we said, and that is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have a lot of questions about life. I have questions about why or how things work. I was reading yesterday why actually the sky is blue. I don't know. If I asked you, say, why is the sky blue? That's the way God made it. There you go. It has to do with the light waves, and it has to do with how it diffracts, right? Diffuses. Is that the word, Joe? What is it? What was the word you used? Diffraction. All right. I don't know if that's a real word. All right. It refracts. It splits. And I'm reading about that. I look out into the heavens and I look and I go, I don't know how you did all that. I'm just glad you did. Amen. I have a lot of questions about things. But here's something I can stand on. I know for sure of the gospel. The Bible says, by which also ye are saved. Oh man, praise the Lord. I need saving. We were talking about that in Romans. We're lost. We are without, it says. If you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He died. We saw last week, how it was prophesied that he would die and that he would rise again, that he was buried and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. It was no surprise to anybody that was following along what was going to happen and then what did happen. It was talked about. But his story doesn't stop there. He rose again. And then, as we just read in Acts chapter number 1, the Bible says in this, and this is where we're going to take our message, starting in verse 5, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time, for I am the least of the apostles. Paul said he's the least of the apostles. And I am not meet to be called an apostle. He says, because all of that I've done. He says, because of my past, I don't deserve to be here. Because I persecuted the church of God. Can I draw our attention to verse 10? But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Hey, if that's your story here, to say amen, right? I'm here not because of some great feat I've done, not because of some great accolades I have. I'm standing here. I'm sitting here. I am what I am today, and God gets all the glory. It's by His grace. He took a mess. He took a wreck, and He turned it into something that He could use, but by the grace of God. Man, praise the Lord for that. The celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ was last week, but the story did not stop in there. The Bible tells us in verse 5, he was seen of Cephas, that would be our Peter. He was seen of the 12, it says in verse 5. He was seen above 500 brethren at once. I just imagine what that's like. Here comes the Lord Jesus Christ, resurrected, 500 people in attendance. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1 that he preached for 40 days about the kingdom. How'd that sound? How were those services? Well, you got to go across the Mason-Dixon line for God to show up. I don't know. I don't know, brother. I'm just saying. God of North Carolina is still the God of New York. I'm just saying. Anyways. Okay, very good. Side issue. There he was preaching of 500. Man, I bet it came undone in that place. Then it says he was seen of James and of the apostles. And then one out of, he said I was born out of due time. He says I was part of the group, but I wasn't really ever really part of the group. I should, and as we studied even this morning, we maybe even could consider some of those Pharisees that Christ preached about and talked to in the Gospels. Was Paul in that arena that day? Was he one of the ones that was calling for his crucifixion? Could you imagine knowing your past like that and then being invited to what that is? Be the preacher to the Gentiles, the missionary, to be entrusted with the gospel. And he's looking around, he sees Peter. And they're telling stories about, how about this? Telling stories about Stephen. Remember what they did with garments of Stephen? They laid them at the feet of Saul. I don't know what wakes you up at night or gives you nightmares. You think he ever replayed some of that stuff? young ladies, the young children that he pulled out of their houses and took them into prison, to knowing that they would be beaten and persecuted. And now he's standing shoulder to shoulder with. Remember Thomas, John chapter number 20. John chapter number 20. The days leading up to the resurrection were life-changing. It was a week like any other week. Those 3 days of sorrow and sadness when he was in the heart of the earth and leading captivity captive, thankful for that. And then when they came that first day of the week and sun is just coming up, and there they, those ladies approach the tomb only to find it empty. They're running all over the place. Chickens, you know, with their heads cut off. Ah, he's gone, he's out. Excited. One by one, John outruns Peter. Remember that? I love that. Just for the record, John is faster than Peter. They get to the tomb and they see it. They don't just see an empty tomb, though. They see the resurrected Christ. There was one who gets kind of gets a little bad rap. If we studied it out a little bit, Thomas. Thomas, listen, this is what we do know. Thomas wasn't there when Christ showed up the first time. We know that. And the Bible tells us, it doesn't tell us where he is, but he is a passionate individual if we study his life. And when the ladies came and said, he's not there, he's all of a sudden gone. Maybe to go see. Christ shows up where he isn't. Verse 24, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, John chapter 20 and verse 24, was not with them when Jesus came. Now, as we read this passage, he gets the nickname almost as a doubter. I don't know if it says that in your Bible or a topic or a headline there, a paragraph break. But we always, Thomas, what do we know about Thomas? Doubting Thomas. Whatever it was, he just says, I want proof. That's great, because in Acts chapter 1 and verse 3, that's what he's prepared for. Infallible proofs. He's ready for that. That's what Christ does. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Again, reminding us, Thomas is a passionate individual. Yes? He doesn't just say, well, you know, that's great for you guys, and, you know, I'm just going to sit over here and wait. He says, listen to me. Grabs him by the ear. Peter, listen to me. Unless I put my fingers in his hands, and I stick my hand in the cut of his rib. How does he know about that? Did he see that? You know, we often say that Christ was abandoned on the cross. But Thomas defined the wounds pretty well here. The Bible says in verse 26, and after, 8 long days. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within. And Thomas was with them. Thomas didn't have a run to the store, run to the tomb, or wherever. He was with them. Then Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Love that, where he just shows up in rooms, right? And one which we would maybe deem as somewhat skeptical, somewhat of doubting, Jesus shows up. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger. Why is he saying this? Because that's what Thomas said. and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. And the Bible says, and be not faithless, but believing. See, when you meet up with the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrected Christ, he takes a doubter and turns him into a believer. Look what it says. Look at his response. Thomas says this. Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Hey, maybe your days before meeting Jesus, I'm skeptical. I mean, I see the effects of things. I hear what you're telling me. But I need to see it firsthand. Literally. And Christ shows up and says, I'll show you. Hey, I want to encourage you, if the Lord shows up and shows you firsthand, this is where doubters become believers. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Again, indicating to us that there was some doubt. There was some lack of faith, it says. He told them, don't be faithless anymore. And I bet Thomas was a house on fire, because that was his personality. Now he has some substance behind it. Thou hast believed. He says this, look at this, in verse 29. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. I haven't seen the nail print hands. I haven't seen that. I haven't had a chance to take my hand and put it into his rib. But the Lord Jesus Christ did show up in my life. The resurrected Christ. Say, physically at that, no. No. But as a 10-year-old boy, I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save me from my sin. And at 10, when my parents sinned, my life was strained. I went from somewhat skeptical to a believer. That's what the resurrection does. Yes, he died for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But throughout that, do you understand that there are individual stories that of lives who have been changed, just like you and I? It wasn't just a mass multitude of, hey, redemption is now available. He specifically came to Thomas. Do you understand that God specifically has a plan and a purpose for your life? And he can take you from a doubter to a believer. Thomas isn't mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, but Cephas is. Do you remember Peter? How did Peter leave the Lord Jesus Christ? In denial. When Christ is being taken away and crucified, Peter, James, and John, the three closest. John is given the commission to take care of Jesus' mother, Mary. And Peter is off to the side, warming himself by a fire. The Bible says that he can see him, because when Christ looks at him, he weeps. Because what does he do? He denies Christ himself. He tries to fool those that are around him. Remember, he uses speech and language that is not becoming of a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. They said, no, aren't you? He says, I don't. And he curses his name. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ shows up with Cephas, Peter. Remember, after he resurrects, he has a little conversation with Peter. And he asks him three times. He says, do you love me? Why do you think he asked him three times? And he gives him a job to do. I'm not sure if you've noticed, but as we read through the book of Acts, the very first person that preaches a message, he's sent to feed the sheep of Israel, and he preaches the first message of the New Testament in Acts chapter number 2, and we see thousands come to Christ. He's actually commissioned with being in charge of the church in Jerusalem. Man. What do we have? We have a doubter turned to a believer. We have a denier turned to a preacher. How'd that happen? Saw the resurrected Christ. Saw Jesus Christ. Got near Jesus, and his life was forever changed. We each have a story. And if you would allow the Lord Jesus Christ to dispel your doubts, maybe even denied him. Maybe a family member or friend notices that, hey, were you in church? Are you starting to go to church? No, I don't know what you're talking about. Ever have an opportunity to speak for the Lord and pass? That's a heavy thing. That's hard to deal with. Meeting the resurrected Christ can take a doubter and turn him into a believer, can take a denier and turn him into a preacher. I love the personal stories of our New Testament. If you think you're disqualified from serving the Lord, can I look again, bring our attention to the two that we've looked at already? Peter, a fisherman. Just goes out and turns the world upside down just by being faithful. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. We've seen of Cephas, then of the 12. 500. In verse 7, it says this, and then he was seen of James. And that took a little study to figure out who that's talking about, Brother Parrott. Was it the brother of John, who would then be a martyr? Acts chapter 12, I don't think so. I think it's the James from, in Galatians chapter number 2. Galatians chapter number 2, look at what this one turns out to be. Galatians chapter number 2 and verse 9, it says, and when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, a pillar of faith. What is your testimony? What are you known as? I'm not a preacher, I'm not a missionary, I'm not an evangelist. Could you be a pillar of faith? Say, well, you know, anyone that's hesitant about standing firm on the faith, I just feel like have not seen the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when God begins to work in your life and you prove him, there's no doubts. We're praying for our young men in Bible study or in Sunday school this morning. Sad to think about the young men that should be or could be and aren't. Some that made a profession even for the work of the ministry and now can I encourage you to continue to be a pillar of faith? To not neglect your faith. To be an example to this next generation of what it means to not be perfect, but to be used by God to be a demonstration and an example of the power of God working in an individual's life. What is it that our young people need to see? They need to see that faith is real. They need to see that this book lived out is the best choice out there. Hey, I'm glad you're in church this morning. But does the Word of God follow you around all Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? Or is your demonstration of faith this 2 hours that we're here? Bible says James seemed to be a pillar. What do you seem to be? This world is, it is reprogramming people on how to be. I remember, when I was a kid, people would work at a job and they'd be there for 30 years. Not because they liked it, but because they were just faithful, loyal to a position. The world is programming our young people into thinking that the world revolves around them. And that's transpiring into the church, into faith. Hey, what do you get out of this? That's not how Christ acted. What did Christ get out of it? Death. To be a servant. James, a pillar. A pillar in the church, what does that mean? It means someone that took the Word of God and said, yeah, I'm going to make application and I'm going to be an example and I'm going to preach it, teach it, live it till my last days. How'd that happen? Saw Jesus. Say, I've never seen Jesus. Well, personally, physically, I have not seen him either. But I've seen his infallible proofs. I told you I've got a lot of questions, but I know for sure that the principles of the Word of God are true. I've said this multiple times. This is the most criticized book ever written. Every skeptic is looking for a weak spot in it. This book is hated. Why is the Word of God so hated? Because it makes us responsible to the Holy Spirit and the authority of God. So if this world can undermine this, it doesn't have to answer to it. Hey, can we just be a pillar of faith? Say, what this thing says, I'm going to do. Infallible proofs. Thomas, from a doubter to a believer. Cephas, from a denier to a preacher. James, a pillar. And then we come to the most unusual character, Paul. Whose personal goal was to destroy Christianity. The destroyer of the teachings of Christ and the teachers. Bible says that in his eyes, for I am the least of the apostles. Why? Because he persecuted the church of God. But in Acts chapter 9, the Lord shows up and it says that he saw him, blinded by him. But he saw him. And immediately, Paul's life was forever changed. He went from a destroyer to the biggest promoter of Christianity. The next day, after his eyes are lifted, you know what he does? He walks into the synagogue and preaches Jesus Christ. You know what Paul was looking for? The truth. For a number of years, for his first period of his life, he thought he had it in the law. And he lived it out, only to be shown the gospel. That forever changed him. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. How can God take a doubter and turn him into a believer, someone who adamantly, publicly denies him, by His grace. By His grace. How can He take one who so verbally and physically persecuted the church and turn him into the biggest promoter? By the grace of God. How can He take a family whose life is just being pulled apart at all ends to bring it back together for His honor and glory? By the grace of God. How can He take a thief and turn him into a giver? How can He take a proud person and turn him into a humble servant of God? By the grace of God. We could go through 1 Corinthians 15 and just add our names. Hey, because I saw the Lord Jesus Christ, because God revealed Himself and I made a decision for Him and I put my faith and trust in Him and He forgave me, my life has forever been changed. By the grace of God, I am what I am. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, in verse 5, 2 Corinthians 3, 5 says this, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am." Hey, anything good, I depend solely, completely on God. Ephesians chapter number 3, in verse 7. Same author, Ephesians 3, 7 says this, "Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of His power." Hey, is that your story? Power of God working in my life, and I just want to serve others now. "Unto me who am less than..." Do you see Paul's description of himself? "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Say, man, I have messed up my life. God can't use me. I'm the worst Christian there ever was. Paul says, "I am less than the least." How much is that? A very little. I don't know. But yet God entrusted him with the gospel. He's entrusted you and I with the gospel. Paul was a house on fire. Stoned. Dragged out of the city. Stoned. Left for dead. He stands up, brushes himself off, and goes back in. What kind of nut does stuff like that? Someone whose life has been changed by Christ. Someone who said and proved and said, everything in here is real. Someone that can take a doubter and turn him into a believer. Someone that can take a denier and turn him into a preacher. Someone who can take just an average guy and make him a pillar of faith. Someone who can take a destroyer and turn him into a promoter. And I ask this morning, who are you? Who are you? Who were you? I'm less than least. Great, that's what he's looking for. It looks like that's what he wants. Say, what does God want me to do? Just ask him. He'll give you direction. He'll give you guidance. Maybe you're here this morning and you have doubts. Maybe you just need, instead of going on YouTube and trying to figure out the answer to these things or reading blogs and forums, maybe you just need to read your scriptures and get close to the Lord and just ask God, say, God, what's in my life that shouldn't be? And is there something that should be that isn't? You don't need a 30-minute YouTube video to explain why Russia is the bear out of the east. And, can we just try and get closer to Lord Jesus Christ? I've messed up too bad. I am less than lean. Can you stop taking yourself out of what God has planned for you? Do you understand that when God forgives, He forgives it all? And He treats us like it never happened. Say, prove it. Paul. Paul. Many infallible proofs. Say, man, I would love to see one of those infallible proofs. Can we scan from this side of the room to that side of the room? Here are your infallible proofs. Say, I'm a mess, I'm a wreck. Okay, join the club. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. If you need proof that God is real, just look around of what He started with to what we have today. Let's all stand. If you're here this morning and you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I want to just help you. I don't want to belittle you in any way. That's a no-brainer. The greatest life is the life lived for the Lord Jesus Christ. You're a sinner and Christ died for sin. I invite you to come. In a moment, we're going to have something called an invitation. If you're here this morning and you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, just come forward and someone will show you from the Scriptures what it means to be a child of God. To have your sins forgiven. Say, do I have to join? What do I have to do? You don't have to join anything. For by grace are you saved through faith. And not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm going to ask you this morning, though. Have you met with the resurrected Christ? Because I see some people whose life was forever changed. It was like 180, 100% repentance. Like, this is where they were going, now they're this. Complete opposite. Hey, we're going in a certain direction, and when we met the Lord, He ought to spin us around and send us in a new direction. Are you sitting here standing here now with some doubts, maybe? Maybe you've denied, haven't been the poster child of faith. Maybe have done more damage than good. Say, there's no hope for me. That's exactly what we saw there. That's who Christ spent His time with, very limited time, 40 days. That's who He went after. That's who He spoke to. Maybe this morning you just want to come forward and say, God, I am that. Lord, help me to get close to You, and Lord, lead me and guide me. I want to be something that You can use. I want to be that house on fire. I want to be a believer. I don't want to have any doubts. Maybe you want to come and say, I'd be willing to be a preacher. Gentlemen, I'm not saying He'd send you, or could you make yourself available, though? I've done more hurt than good. All right, how about you turn into the promoter then? Everywhere you go, talking about the difference Christ has made in your life. In a moment, we're going to have a time invitation. However the Holy Spirit touched your heart this morning, I just ask that you be open and honest with Him. Heavenly Father, we ask You bless the time of invitation now. Lord, I know in my heart I've shamedly had doubts and fears. But Lord, there is no denying You. Lord, help us to get view of that. Help us to get a little sight of that today. Lord, I pray You change our natural ways into spiritual ways. Lord, we need You more than ever before. Lord, bless this time of invitation now, and I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here today? unto me, who am less than least of all saints, is this grace given. Have you met with the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrected Christ? Hey, our faith isn't dead. It's real. It's alive. I'm no preacher. Can you just be a pillar? Can you stand there and be something that someone else can build on? Can you be faithful? This world is teaching unfaithfulness from the beginning to the end. Can you be something that someone else could stand on? Can you be an example of faith? What's the Lord doing in your heart today? Bible says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Is the Lord touching your heart? God, I just want to make myself available, whatever it is that you want to do with me. I'm available. Sure, I've made a mess in the past, but God, if you could use this mess, here it is. He's going to take it, clean it up, buff it up, shine it up, send you out. Maybe there are some years of wandering just out in the world. Man, isn't it good to be in the center of it all? Man, it's amazing that God could take something so anti-God and turn it into something so in favor of God. Isn't that a blessing? Man. You may be seated. We'll just have a couple announcements. Hope you understand, I'm not saying that you got to physically see Jesus show up at the end of your foot's bed stand. Interaction with the Lord Jesus Christ is interaction with the resurrected Christ. That forever changes. This past week, as you heard, we started our new Sunday school classes. It is not too late to start. Mrs. Russo, is there room in the ladies' class? There is? Okay, very good. Next week is Mrs. Debbie Pride, and she'll be teaching her own material in our Ladies Sunday School class. Wonderful. That sounds awesome. That's going to be a great time. And you're going to be in here. Yes. Oh, we're going to confuse you. We're going to put you in here next week. All right. So that is next Sunday morning. Ms. Aldred, you're just a trendsetter. You're just ahead of your time. That's what it is. All right, very good. Mrs. Aldred, next week, ladies are in here. All right, make sure you're here. We're going to try and start right on time. I know there's a lot of material to cover in a short amount of time. Speaking of that, Miss Debbie Pride, we could use if you have a dependable vehicle that's just sitting in your driveway and you would like to let us use that for her while she's here, that would be a huge non-expense to the church, and that would be a blessing. If there's duct tape anywhere on your vehicle, we do not want it. The last thing we want is Miss Debbie Pride to break down. That would not be good. That would not be good. You will forever end up in one of her books is what would happen. Yeah. Anything you want to say about that? Thursday through Sunday. All right. So if you can do that, please text me and just let me know. Yes, I have a vehicle available. We would love to let her borrow it, use it. And again, we want to be a blessing. That's a big thing that she's coming to be with us. Miss Marilyn also is going to be with her, her travel buddy. And so thankful for, again, this is quite an honor for us to have her, and a privilege. And is there sign-up stuff that needs to happen still? Ladies only.
Ladies only.
Okay.
Yes, 15 also are invited. Also, the ladies that
we've gotten
together a few weeks ago to kind of plan some of these things again Wednesday after service.
All right, very good. Camp registration is due today. I think they're in the Spanish ministry. So if you say, oh, I forgot, go home. First thing to do, take a blank check, stick it in your Bible, and then we can fill out all the paperwork here for camp, all right? That's junior camp and teen camp. Make sure it's just beneficial to you. It's cheaper to do that. Say, we'll do it. Don't do it late. Do it right now. Youth choir practice tonight, 5 o'clock. Very good. Mrs. Parrott, you're having surgery on Friday. This Friday, we're not sure what time, but there's a meal sheet out there. Is that right, Miss Megan? All right, very good. So be a blessing, be a help, and sign up for that and be an encouragement. And one of the best parts about having surgery is you guys making food for everybody. It's a wonderful thing, and so praise the Lord for that. All right, let's all stand. You have homework. Say, what's that? To go home and enjoy this absolutely beautiful day. Absolutely beautiful. Don't listen. Do not start major projects. Don't. Because you're going to look at your clock and it's going to be like 5:15. It's like, oh, do I want to go inside and get cleaned up and go? No, I got to finish this, 30 by 30 flower bed. And, don't start major projects. Just enjoy God's creation. Go for a little walk. I know some of you are fishing in the pond. Get the catfish out of there. I want to see biggest catfish wins. What? Catfish, obviously. So that's what happens. But service here tonight, 6 o'clock. Youth choir practice, 5 o'clock. All right. Nate, how you doing? You all right? You need anything? Nothing? What are you having for lunch today, Nate? Ramen and hot dogs? He's like, I hope so. All right, very good. All right. Mr. B, will you dismiss us in prayer? Yeah. Amen. God bless you. Have a great afternoon.